walking on the road to Jerusalem. The time had come to sacrifice again. My two small sons, they walk beside me on the road. The reason that they came was to watch the Lamb. Daddy, Daddy, what will we see there? There's so much that we don't understand. So I told them of Moses and Father Abraham. And then I said, dear children, watch the Lamb. For there will be so many in Jerusalem today. We must be sure the Lamb doesn't run away. And I told them of Moses and Father Abraham. And then I said, dear children, watch the Lamb. When we reached the city, I knew something must be wrong. There were no joyful worshipers, no joyful worship songs. I stood there with my children in the midst of angry men. Then I heard the crowd cry out, crucify him! We tried to leave the city, but we could not get away. Forced to play in this drama, a part I did not wish to play. Why upon this day were men condemned to die? Why were we standing here, where soon they would pass by? I looked and said, even now they come. The first one cried for mercy. The people gave him none. The second one was violent. He was arrogant and loud. I can still hear his angry voice screaming at the crowd. Then someone said, there's Jesus. And I scarce believe my eyes. A man so badly beaten, he barely looked alive. Blood poured from his body, from the thorns upon his brow, running down the cross and falling to the ground. I watched him as he struggled. I watched him as he fell. The cross came down upon his back. The crowd began to yell. In that moment, I felt such agony. In that moment, I felt such loss. Until a Roman soldier grabbed my arm and screamed, you carry his cross! At first, I tried to resist him. Then his hand reached for his sword. And so I knelt and took the cross from the Lord. I placed it on my shoulder and started down the street. The blood that he'd been shedding was running down my cheek. They led us to Golgotha. They drove nails deep into his feet and hands. And yet upon the cross I heard him pray, Father, forgive them. Oh, never have I seen such love in any other eyes. Into thy hands I commit my spirit, he prayed, and then he died. I stood for what seemed like years. I lost all sense of time until I felt two tiny hands holding tight to mine. My children stood there weeping. I heard the oldest say, Father, please forgive us. The lamb ran away. Daddy, Daddy, what have we seen here? There's so much that we don't understand. So I took them in my arms, and we turned and faced the cross. And then I said, dear children, watch the Lamb.
When I was 12, I stood in front of my church with one of those designer robes, the kind they give you when you're about to be baptized. And I stood there and I proclaimed my faith in Jesus and my desire to give my life to him. And then, honestly, not completely understanding the significance of what I was doing, but wanting to do it, I went through the rooms, came out, and we had a baptistry a bit different to this. Ours was part of the platform. We would take the platform away, and then there'd be this hole in the ground in the church. And it was filled with water, and the pastor was already in there. And then I went down the steps, and I looked this way, and I held onto his arms. And he had this little handkerchief in his hand. And he said that he baptized me now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And with that, I went down. Now, he covered my nose, but he did not cover my eyes. And I remember leaving my eyes open. And I could just see light. The lights from the church building were above the water. And so as I went down, as I looked, all I could see, it was like the light at the end of the tunnel. It was as though I was about to die. And as I kept my eyes wide open and my nose sealed shut, I was what I now know, buried in a watery grave. Because the Apostle Paul describes it beautifully for us, that baptism is a death. It is a death to self. It is a death to the things that come our way as a result of sin. The warning that came in the garden, don't eat of this tree. If you do, you'll die. That's the death that happens when you go down. The death that goes down when you are baptized is the death that Jesus died on the cross. Only he got the nails and we get the water. Because it's his death that beat all death. So that when we die to ourselves and to our sin, we are participating with Jesus Christ's death. Now, Peter was kind of the lead disciple. I don't know exactly how that worked. I'm not sure if anyone knew exactly how that worked except for Peter. Peter knew how it worked. And after they had received the Holy Spirit and Pentecost had come, he's out there with disciples and Peter is preaching. And it's a real sermon. None of this wishy-washy, mushy stuff. He was just preaching the gospel. It was, this is what Jesus has done. And if you accept Jesus, you should choose him today. And 3,000 people said, we want to choose him. Now what do we do? Which has been the age-old Christian question for 2,000 years right now. Choose Jesus. Yes! Now what do we do? I don't know. Just come and we'll sing songs and we'll pray and we'll do stuff together. We're always trying to work out how we live this life with Christ. But Peter was very clear. When they came to him and asked, what now shall we do? Peter said, you should do this. And his answer comes in Acts chapter 2. I'm going to start reading at verse 37. Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In other words, if you choose Jesus, you must participate with him in his death. That's what you should do. Repent, confess in Jesus' name, and go down into the water. And you don't have to worry about the nails. You don't have to worry about the crucifixion because Jesus has done that for you. And go down into the water. And if you do that, you will come out a new resurrected person. With a new life, with a life in Jesus. Paul puts it this way, if I could go to Galatians chapter 3. For all of you are children of God through faith in Jesus Christ, through the participation of Jesus' death, participating with him through baptism. And all have been united with Christ in baptism, have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. Now, you all know what this is like. The whole world knows what this is like. There are so many TV shows now where you get these kind of makeovers. And there's makeovers of houses and businesses. And there are makeovers of people where 5 gay people come along and tell you how to dress. Have you seen the shows? Okay. They're just copying the scriptures. Because we can and we should have a makeover. I don't know if you've ever seen anybody who looks entirely different. I kid you not, it happened to me this morning. I came into church and we had a new youth in our church. It turns out I've met her before. It's Haley. She's got bangs. Did you see her today? I had to do a double take. I didn't even think it was her. I thought a new person was here. She's had like a makeover. And this is what Paul says. All have been united with Christ who have died to self and are resurrected into life. It's like putting on new clothes. I don't know if I should do this. Who got new clothes for Easter this weekend? Did anybody get new clothes for Easter? Some people got new clothes for Easter. At least 2 people. There's more than that. I know there's more than that. Because I know, and she's not putting her hand up. So I know that there's more than that. But it is a wonderful thing to look good. To feel like $1 million, you know? Just to get something that you know fits well, that you don't have to grow into and that you haven't grown out of yet. Of course, for me, it's like, oh, yeah, I can do it. You know, that sort of thing. But it's wonderful to be a new creature. And that is why Jesus came to this earth, is to make it possible for you who is disconnected from God to be reunited with Him. And that's why He didn't only come to die, but that's why He came to live for us, to show us how to live this life, to join in with us. And so He gathered His band of people together, His followers, His disciples. And He told them to go and search for the upper room. And He gave them instructions for how to find it. And He got everything in place. He delegated. Jesus was a wonderful delegator. And people who were following were so pleased and so thrilled to be part of His life and part of His existence. And they brought the Passover meal together. And when the hour came, Jesus took His place at the table and the apostles with Him. And He said to them,
eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God.
So then He took a cup, and after He gave thanks, He said,
take and divide it amongst yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.
Then He took a loaf of bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to them, saying,
this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.
And He did the same with the cup after supper, saying,
this cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant of my blood. But see that one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table, for the Son of Man is going as it has been determined. But woe to that one by whom he is betrayed.
Then the apostles began to ask one another which one of them it could be who would do this. A dispute arose among the apostles as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But Jesus said to them,
the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. And you are those who have stood by me in my trials. And I confer on you, just as my Father has conferred on me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table and in my kingdom. And you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, listen. Satan has demanded to sift all of you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your own faith will not fail, and you, when once you have turned back, strengthen your brothers.
And Peter said to Jesus,
Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death.
And Jesus said,
I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied me three times that you know me.
And Jesus said to his disciples,
when I sent you out with a purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything?
And they said,
no, not a thing.
And Jesus said to them,
but now the one who has the purse must take it, and likewise a bag. And the one who has no sword must sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you this, Scripture must be fulfilled in me. And he was counted among the lawless. Indeed, what is written about me is being fulfilled.
And they said,
Lord, look, here are two swords.
And he replied,
it is enough.
And Jesus came out and went, as his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples, they followed him. And when he reached the place, he said to them,
pray that you may not come into the time of trial.
And then he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down, and he prayed.
Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done.
Then an angel from heaven appeared to him and gave him strength. In his anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling on the ground. And when he got up from prayer, he came to his disciples and found them sleeping because of grief. And he said to them,
"Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not come into the time of trial."
And while Jesus was still speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. And Jesus said to him,
"Judas, is it with a kiss that you are betraying the Son of Man?"
When those who were around Jesus saw what was coming, they asked,
"Lord, should we strike with the sword?"
Then one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus said,
"No more of this."
And he touched the slave's ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple police, and the elders who came for him,
"Have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a bandit? When I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay your hands on me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness."
Then the crowd seized Jesus and led him away. The crowd brought Jesus into the high priest's house. But Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. Then a servant girl, seeing Peter in the firelight, stared at him and said,
"This man also was with him."
But Peter denied it, saying,
"Woman, I do not know him."
A little later, someone else, on seeing Peter, said,
"You also are one of them."
But Peter said,
"Man, I am not."
Then, about an hour later still, another kept insisting,
"Surely this man is also was with the prisoner, for he is a Galilean."
But Peter said,
"Man, I do not know what you're talking about."
And at that moment, while Peter was still speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked at Peter. And then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how Jesus had said to him,
"Before the cock crows today, you will deny me 3 times.
And Peter went out, and he wept bitterly. Now the men who were holding Jesus began to mock him, and they began to beat him. They also blindfolded him and kept asking him,
"Prophesy.
Was it that struck you?"
They kept heaping many other insults on Jesus. And when day came, the assembly of the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, gathered together, and they brought Jesus to their council, and they said,
"If you are the Messiah, tell us."
And Jesus replied,
"If I tell you, you will not believe, and if I question you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated on the right hand of the power of God."
And all of them asked,
"Are you then the Son of God?"
And Jesus said to them,
"You say that I am."
And then they said,
"What further testimony do you need?"
"We have heard it ourselves from his own lips."
Then the assembly rose as a body and brought Jesus before Pilate. And they began to accuse Jesus, saying,
"We found this man perverting our nation,
forbidding us to pay taxes to the emperor,
and saying that he himself is the Messiah, a king."
And then Pilate asked Jesus,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
Jesus answered,
"You say so."
And Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds,
"I find no basis for an accusation against this man."
But they were insistent and said,
"He stirs up the people
by teaching throughout all Judea,
from Galilee, where he began, even to this place."
And when Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, Pilate sent Jesus off to Herod, who himself was in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had been wanting to see him for a long time, because he had heard about Jesus and was hoping to see him perform some sort of sign. Herod questioned him at some length, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. Even Herod, with his soldiers, treated Jesus with contempt and mocked him. And then Herod put an elegant robe on Jesus and sent him back to Pilate. That same day, Herod and Pilate became friends with each other. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them,
"You brought me this man as one who is perverting the people. And here I have examined him in your presence, and have not found this man guilty of any charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he has sent him back to us. Indeed, this man has done nothing wrong to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him."
And then the elders all shouted out together,
"Away with this fellow!
Release Barabbas for us."
Barabbas was a man who had been put in prison for an insurrection that had taken place in the city and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again, but they kept shouting,
"Crucify! Crucify him!"
And the third time, Pilate said to them,
"Why? What evil has this man done? I have found in him no ground for the sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and then release him."
"Crucify! Crucify him!"
But the elders kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that Jesus should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave his verdict that their demand should be granted. Pilate released the man they asked for, the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder, and handed Jesus over as they wished. As they led Jesus away, they seized a man, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and they laid the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A great number of the people followed him, and among them were women who were wailing for him. But Jesus turned to them and said,
"Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children."
And two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with Jesus. They came to the place that is called the Skull. They crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And then Jesus said,
"Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing."
And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching. But the leaders scoffed at him, saying,
"He saved others.
Let him save himself.
If he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one."
And the soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying,
"If you are the King of the Jews,
then save yourself."
There was also an inscription over Jesus that read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding Jesus and saying,
"Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us."
But the other rebuked him, saying,
"Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for you are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong."
And then he said,
"Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom."
And Jesus replied,
"Truly I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise."
It was now noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, when the sun's light failed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, crying with a loud voice, said,
"Father, I give your into your hands, and I commend my spirit."
And having said this, he breathed his last. And when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God and said,
"Certainly this man was innocent."
And when all the crowds who had gathered there for the spectacle saw what had taken place, they returned home sorrowfully. But all Jesus' acquaintances, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. Now, there was a good and righteous man named Joseph, who, though a member of the council, had not agreed to their plan or action. He came from the Jewish town of Arimathea, and he was waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Joseph took the body down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and laid it in a rock-hewn tomb where no one had ever been laid. It was a day of preparation, and the Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed, and they saw the tomb and how his body was laid. And then they returned and prepared the spices and ointments. And on the Sabbath day they gathered together, and they rested according to the commandment. And then Sunday came. Maybe I saw the light as I was in that baptismal tomb. But the preacher did what every preacher does, and that was lift me right up out of the water. And I got to be a new creation because Jesus died for me, but lives for me too.
Gates and doors were barred, and other windows fastened down. I'd spent the night in sleeplessness, and rose with every sound. Half in hopeless sorrow, and half in fear the day would find the soldiers breaking through to drag us all away. Then just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gates began to rattle, and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the streets, expecting swords and torches and the sounds of the soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary. I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they'd moved him in the night, and none of us know where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran toward the garden, then John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb just the way that Mary said. But the winding sheet they'd wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how or where they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, but just what, I didn't know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstances, speculation, couldn't lift me very high. I saw them crucify him, and then I watched him die. Back inside the house again, all the guilt and anguish came. And everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. But at last it came to choices. I denied I knew his name. And even if he were alive, it wouldn't be the same. Then suddenly the air was filled with a strange and sweet perfume. Light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. Then I fell down on my knees and clung to him and cried. Raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release, and every fear I ever had just melted in sweet peace. He's alive, he's alive. He's alive and I am forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive. He's alive and I am forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive. He's alive and I am forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive and I am forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive.